This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 21st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Tom Rogers reports from China. We'll hear an interview with the head of the Illinois Trade Office in Shanghai. And we'll check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. A new feature on the website of the Illinois State Police gives citizens the ability to find out how any registered sex offenders live in their neighborhoods. Here's how it works. A website user types in any address. A map appears with symbols representing the registered sex offenders who live nearby. Users can search within a radius from 500 feet to 5 miles of their homes or schools. The tool also gives information on sex offenders, including addresses, photos when available, physical descriptions, and information about the offender's crimes. The enhanced website results from legislation signed by Governor Rod Blagojevich to protect communities from sexual predators. The legislation was sponsored by Senator Kirk Dillard, a Westmont Republican. Chicago police say they've arrested and charged a suspect in connection with a robbery attempt that left former U.S. Senator and presidential candidate Carol Moseley Braun with a broken wrist. Braun was standing at her front door on April 27th when an assailant came out of the bushes and tried to take her purse. She was injured in a scuffle with the attacker, who fled the scene without the purse after two University of Chicago students came to her aid. Charged yesterday with attempted armed robbery and aggravated battery was 38-year-old Joseph A. Dixon of Chicago. Sergeant Nancy Higgins says Dixon was arrested Friday for allegedly stealing cash from a tip jar at a Subway restaurant in the Hyde Park neighborhood. Higgins said the former senator picked him out of a lineup yesterday. Police say Dixon has an extensive criminal record, including burglaries, criminal trespassing, and assaults. Indiana University trustees are expected to vote on a proposed tuition increase today after hearing from students across the state. Trustees are considering a proposal to raise tuition and fees 5% in each of the next 2 years for in-state students. Out-of-state students may face a 9% increase this year and an 11% increase next year. The trustees' meeting this morning in Bloomington will be broadcast on video to all regional campuses, where students will be able to comment. Trustees are expected to meet at 1 p.m. A university spokesman says the additional money will go to increase salaries and benefits. Trustees at Purdue and Ball State Universities recently approved tuition increases. High electric bills have resulted in some consumers being unable to pay. Members of the Illinois House say they want to limit the tactics utilities can use when trying to collect. Krista Kukowski reports.
Democratic Representative George Scully of Flossmoor says adding electric companies to a law already in effect will help consumers. It's illegal in Illinois for collection agencies to resort to actions like calling people at unreasonable hours. Since they also collect debt, he says Ameren and Commonwealth Edison should be considered collection agencies.
There is very serious concern from the people of the state of Illinois about their unpaid electric bills, their fear of power being shut off, their fear of unusual collection efforts being used against them, and this bill is an effort to try to give them some confidence that unreasonable collection efforts will not be permitted.
The measure passed the House and is now before the state Senate. Illinois' two largest electric providers, Ameren and Commonwealth Edison, each say they work with customers who can't pay, setting up payment plans rather than cutting off service. They deny harassment of individuals. I'm Krista Kukowski.
Some Champaign City employees hope to send a message this week to contractors, realtors, and others who illegally post signs in public right-of-ways. As part of National Sick of Signs Week, planning and neighborhood services staff will participate in a sign removal sweep. Susan Salzman is the city's property maintenance supervisor.
All cities have this problem, and apparently the American Association of Code Enforcement decided that they wanted to do something about it and asked other communities to join them. And we thought that since this is a problem here and something that frustrates us and we try to regulate, we thought we would join them and really emphasize the point that you can't do this.
Salzman says realtors and contractors are the most common violators of the city's sign ordinance. She says they're posted not only on the ground, but on telephone poles. Salzman says city staff is not really concerned with signs promoting yard sales and garage sales, noting they're only temporary. Salzman says removed signs will not be returned. Those who violate the codes a second time will be fined, depending on the number of violations. The amount of fines can range from $50 to $500. Crews are demolishing a closed power plant as part of a project to transform a site along the Wabash River southwest of Terre Haute into a wildlife habitat. The 550-foot stack of the Breed power plant was imploded Friday. Demolition of the plant is expected to be completed in November. The plant has been closed since 1994. Indiana Michigan Power Company is allowing the state to manage the land about 20 miles southwest of Terre Haute for at least the next 5 years. The company retains ownership of the land that's within the Fairbanks Landing Fish and Wildlife Area. A company spokesman says no final decision has been made on the future of the site, but the infrastructure would make it possible to develop another energy plant there. Right now, millions of cicadas are waiting for just the right moment to emerge from the ground. But when will that be? Shauna Lee reports one expert predicts we could see them early this week.
Biologist Gene Kritzky says he's not a betting man, but he is staking a bit of his professional reputation. He says 17-year cicadas won't head for the treetops until our ground temperature is just right. Kritzky says that should be Tuesday, but weather will be the wild card. He says our dirt still needs a little daytime heat.
So the fact that it gets cold at night is not a problem, but if you get warm up over the weekend and then get a nice little rain sometime after it gets warm, that'll really help.
Kritzky predicted to the day when cicadas emerged in his hometown of Cincinnati back in 2004. But if his Chicago prediction is wrong, our cicadas won't give him another chance to get it right until 2024. I'm Sean Aldee.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. China is a nation of 1.3 billion people. In other words, multiply the U.S. population by more than four and you have China. It's a highly attractive business market for people in Illinois who have something to sell. But the head of the state of Illinois' trade office in Shanghai says setting up shop in China is not a simple proposition. On the other hand, as AM 580's Tom Rogers reports from Shanghai, it can be done and done very well.
Zachary Zhao's office is helping more than 300 Illinois firms tap into a country whose population is vast, but whose experience with outside trade is only about 30 years old. But Zhao says, hold on if you think that means unsatisfied needs for goods across the board. He says in some industries, China is as established as the rest of the world.
China is no longer an emerging market. China, to some extent, in a lot of industries, for example, mobile phone I just mentioned, in the telecom, it's already a mature market. All the major players in the, for example, take the home appliances, it's already a mature market here, a super mature market here. All the major brands you can find in the States, you can find here.
Zhao's office is inside a busy complex that includes a Ritz-Carlton hotel. All around him, for miles around, are crowded streets and highways and multi-story office and apartment buildings, including some of the tallest in the world. China has a seemingly insatiable need for steel, machinery, chemicals, medical equipment, and other items that fuel growth in areas like Shanghai and Beijing. But Zhao offers another warning to companies who are looking at exporting. China is not one big homogenous nation.
Different language, dialects, a different normal for business, different legal structure and a social structure. And you have to find some like local guide. It's not somebody can simply translate your literature into Chinese, not that simple. You have to find some guide to know how to deal with the local Chinese people, in which way make them feel comfortable, and how to moderate your stance, and then how to, you know, really establish that guanxi, the relationship, that's okay.
Zhao says establishing guanxi, building connections, is a very easy concept to grasp, but achieving it is the difference between making and breaking a business deal.
I think for the human nature, there's not much difference on that. We try to, you know, build up a relationship with the people, no matter in business or in our life, and we try to make friends. But in China and in the Oriental, in China and in the Asia, in the East Asia, that plays more important role. And a lot of business people we see, I mean the local,
entrepreneurs. And before they are really seriously talking about their business, they want to know who you are, where you're coming from, and what do you like. Do you want to play golf with me or tennis with table tennis with me? Those kind of thing. And they may not want to take you to dinner and chat with you the whole night, but nothing about business. That would happen, but seldomly that happens in States. So that's kind of cultural difference. They want to know you, get to know you, make friends with you, and then build that trust. And then do business.
Last year, handshakes and guanxi led to $1.5 billion in Illinois exports to China, from Caterpillar tractors to small firms' electrical components to even scrap metal. But there's no guarantee that the Chinese market won't dry up, even with hundreds of millions of people. Zachary Zhao points to Motorola, whose cell phones were a hit when they arrived in China for the first time years ago. Then, so-called Me Too companies made phones much like Motorola's, but only cheaper and without having to spend much money on research. Motorola's Chinese business was in trouble.
For a while, it seemed that Motorola would withdraw from China on the cellular phone market. But now, just 2 years later, and then Motorola came back with more powerful function, with more fancy design. And then I'd like to say, I'm very glad to say that Motorola is still one of the key players and the leaders in the market. If you are confident on your R&D, if you are confident that the business is a long-term game, not one-shot game, and you stick on your rule, and with the continuous improvement infrastructure, legal structure in China, I would say we will benefit. I mean, Illinois County would benefit from that. That's for sure.
Zachary Zhao is Illinois' trade representative in China, and he says his Shanghai office can fill prospective exporters in on legal and government restrictions, tariffs, and other obstacles that can keep Illinois firms out of the country. But he says many people have cleared those obstacles and are taking part now in a booming economy. In Shanghai, I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Tom's interview is one of a series of reports from China. It's part of a University of Illinois project to teach journalism students about foreign reporting. You can follow their experiences on our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. In the forecast for the region today, sunny skies, a high of 84, winds from the south at 8 to 16 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, the low 56, and for tomorrow, sunny skies during the morning. Partly sunny during the afternoon, a high of 86. Winds from the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low 61. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, May 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.